myself to enter into that. I want to take advantage of that more. Because I know that if I can be led of the Spirit, what does it say? Verse 16, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, right here's where you can learn how to walk in the Spirit a little while. Now, there's more to it than just having experiences. You know, part of it's having the mind of the Spirit. The having been God, the Word of God, working in your life to where you're being led. The Word of God is touched your life in such a way that it's changed you. You respond to things in life just like God would, just like Jesus would. My wife and I don't argue and fight like we used to. We was young. We had to work out our differences, and we were, you know, we had a lot of zeal, selfish zeal. You know, it's something to be made one with somebody, to get all of that worked out where, you know, I've got to, there was a compromise that took place. She'll tell you she compromised more than I did, and I'll tell you it's the truth, but in my older years, I'm going back and wishing that I would have made more room for her. And because I see there's a greater benefit when there is a balance and it's not too one-sided. Relationships are better when they're balanced and not one-sided. When you can get the benefit. Did y'all know that before... I'm gonna give you women something. You're going, I'll guarantee you'll never forget this. I'm just gonna drop this, and y'all will never forget. This is something I'm gonna plant that'll never be taken away. Can you hold your place right here and turn with me to Genesis 3? Just the women. You men don't even have to look at it. Just you women. Let's look at this. I'm gonna show you something. Yeah, you guys want to know what them? He said, we got to see what this guy's fitting to do to us. Let me find it here just a second, because. I may have just thought it was in the Bible. In the 16th verse of chapter 3 of Genesis, man has fell, and God's cursing the serpent, the woman, and man. And he tells unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, and thy conception in sorrow shalt thou bring forth children. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Did y'all know before the fall that man didn't rule over you? You women weren't under the rule of a husband before the fall. That already encouraged you to get back in the garden. You know, I bet you'd never forget this. I don't care if you are laughing. You'll use this. I'm sorry, you men. I'll try to find something to come back with them on. The only thing I can tell you men is just say, we ain't in the garden yet. That's all I can give you. But, you know, before there was a fall, women didn't do nothing wrong. There was no reason to rule over her. There is no law against sin. She was made to be a helpmate. All right. Brother Mark's already messing up. He's getting this. I don't know if she heard him or not, but I'll bet she did. All right. Variance. Somebody needs to write that down. That means arguing. Wrangling. Contending. Let me just tell you, if you'll serve God, it'll all get worked out in a little while. You young people, when you get married, I'll just tell you, you're going to go through, you're going to have some variance. If anybody calls you and says, what do y'all do? I'd say, we're variants. Everybody's variance in here. Emulations. Let's look that one up. That's jealousy. Zealous jealousy. Heated jealousy. Wrath. That's that. That's when jealousy takes you go beyond jealousy. That's fierce indignation. Oh God. Strife. Well, I think everybody knows what strife. You know, I'm giving you some of the definitions because of how it might have been interpreted. You know, some of these words we don't use anymore exactly like this. Sedition. You know what that is? Division. Disunion. You sleep on the couch tonight. You ain't sleeping with me. No, I'm disfellowshipping you tonight. My wife used to tell me, get out of here. You sleeping on the couch. I'd say, I pay the bills around here. You sleep on the couch. I said, I bought this bed. Of course, you know, she used to work when we was young, so she'd argue. I helped pay for it. I'd say, well, let's get one big enough we can both sleep in it because I ain't sleeping on the couch. Of course, I had a deal. You know, I told her every once in a while, boy, me and her would fight at night. And I'd lay down in the bed and I'd think, why don't she repent? I always repent. Seemed like I'm always the one repenting. Now, if you'd ask her, she'd say, that ain't true. But don't seem to me like I remember her repenting very much. I've done most of it. Seemed like to me. But I'd lay down in the bed. And I'd lay there and I'd think, God, if we die tonight, we're in a bad fix. We'll come up in the resurrection of the unjust, yours the world. We're not going to make the first resurrection over a stupid argument that I don't even remember how it started. I don't even know what we're fighting about anymore. She'll tell you what we're fighting about, but I don't even remember. But most of it didn't mean to nothing. It could have been, how come you didn't put all the dishes in the other side of the sink when I've asked you 100 times that in the morning when I make coffee that I want this side of the sink to clean the coffee pot out in and I don't have to move all these cold. You ever get up in the morning the cold water dishes in the sink? You got to get your hands in that in the morning? Just to make coffee. You got to move all these over. And I've asked you, like a gentle little lamb, honey, could I have one little request? Move the dishes over to this side of the sink before we go to bed. Could one of us put them over there? Because I make coffee in the morning for both of us. I love you and I make you coffee and bring it to you in the bed. But I don't want to put my hands in cold, dirty water in the morning. And that's what we're arguing about. can make your own coffee if you can't fix the sink right for me. Here we go. Round one. Before you know it, you're just like your mother. And she says, I know it, Lehman. That was my daddy's name. Here we go. And before we know it, I'm leaving. What's that called? Sedition. Yeah. How many sadistics have we got out there? How many seditioners are in the house? Oh, God. Well, I'm not just talking about marriage. I'm talking about me and you right here in the house of God. I got to somehow figure out how to stay with you. You got to love me enough to stay with me in spite of me. They told me when I got here, we don't believe in division. We don't believe in separation. We believe in unity, coming together. That's what the body's all about. The body can't be the body if it separates. I remind some of them guys of that yet. Some of these guys that decide to leave, and sometimes I've had to remind myself of it. You know, have you ever left out them doors and said, I ain't going back? You ever heard Naomi? I've heard her voice from afar. Gone back to where you come from, honey. I can't help you. You girls, gone back to Moab where you belong. I can't help you. Oh, God. I have to rehearse some of all these things God's done for me in my life, and the revelation of the body of Christ He's gave me, and the things that I've been taught. God, help me never to give over to my own spirit. You ever give over to your own spirit? The work of iniquity. That's when sedition really takes place. That's when it takes place in the house or wherever. Anytime you give over to your own spirit, it'll create, if it's a work of the flesh. Now, God can, God don't use that word sedition for separating from the world and being separated from evil. That's sanctification. But heresy. Heresy is, it is a work of sedition. Is when you try to convince somebody of something that's not right. It's to try to get somebody to make your choice. Heresy. I choose my doctrine, my ideas. This is the way. I'm sick of doing it somebody else's way. Let me tell you something. When you get to a place that you pull yourself out from underneath the general leadership, the general order, or the general oversight of the rulers of the body of Christ in your local church. That doesn't mean there's no place for appeal. But there's an overall order in here, and there's a general teaching. When you pull yourself out from under it, you gave over to heresy. You give over to iniquity. You give over to your own will, your own way of doing things. And you're out of order. When you do that, you get out of order. I don't mean just any little old bitty thing, but I'm talking about, you know, in other words, I think that we ought to have a ministry that's merciful, tender, easy to be entreated, peaceable. They try to work peace. But you can tear up an order in the church if you just go against the leadership of it. And I'm glad we've got a body of ministers today, and we've got a we have a you know, just like in Acts the 15, there was a question and they took it before the ministry. And they looked to God for an answer. I love that. I love the safety of that. I love the coming before God and His chosen men of God and depending on them. You say, well, I don't think they're right. Well, they didn't put you in charge. When you get in charge, you can do it how you think it's right. But until then, you better follow who God put in charge. I don't think God's got an unreasonable ministry. This house is reasonable. There's a lot of mercy in here. There may be men in here that aren't merciful or men that aren't, you know, very easy to set under. But if God puts you under them, you better be careful about getting out from underneath them until God sets you free. I do think a minister can be too hard on people and are too loose, either one. God set people free of them. And but I don't. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the order of God that's been established by our general brotherhood, our leading ministry. Envyings. Y'all know what envy is. You know, you can have a spirit to somebody else. You can compare yourself to somebody else, or you can not like it because God's blessed somebody else. And you feel like you've been cheated. You know, you start trying to compare yourselves. I've seen different people, you know, God. You can do that with a lot of things. You can see people, God blessed them with a nicer home than you've got. I've seen women who can't have children. They get a wrong spirit against women that can have children. You know, I mean, they can't help it because they can have children. You can't help it because you can't. You can't help it if you're born with a defect that God hadn't, you know, healed or give you a miracle. You have to learn to live with that. That's your burden in life. But I'll guarantee you there's enough of God available to you to make up the difference in any handicap that you might have that God chooses to let you have. There's enough of God to make up the difference. Brother D.L. Jones, I never will forget when I was in Portland, Oregon, and I heard it come out of his mouth. He said, me going blind was the most grace, it was the greatest grace that God's ever touched my life with. When he made that statement, I like to fell out of my chair. I thought, how could anybody make that statement? But he kept talking about what happened to him and how what happened to him after he went blind and what God has done to his life since then. He said, I wouldn't take eyesight for what God's done for me. And when he got through, I believed it was the most marvelous thing God could have ever done for him. I just couldn't believe I could ever believe that. Yeah. Really. I mean, he got done talking to us about how he went blind and what God done for his life and how it changed him and how God became so real to him. He even told us about the time that he prayed for people and God was healing people just by him laying hands on them. And there he was blind and he told God why he's praying for people. He prayed for a lady and she got healed just like that. He said, God, why? Why would you heal people through me when I'm blind and you won't heal me? He said, God spoke to me and said, I'm going to give you your sight tonight just to show you I can. But he said, I'm not going to let you keep it because I have a plan for you. And he said, God touched me and I could see that night so clear. He said, I didn't even want to go to bed because I knew God told me I couldn't keep it. He said, I stayed up, I read, I looked at things, at how beautiful things were. He said, finally, I got so tired, I went to bed and went to sleep. He said, I woke up the next morning blind as a bat. But he said, but I felt so blessed because God showed me the purpose of my blindness and what God was working in his ministry. See, before he was so busy, he didn't have some time for God to use him. when he went blind, he didn't have nothing to do but just to seek God. And God been using him in a great way. It's tremendous testimony that he has. Well, I mean, I don't want to go blind, but I know there's enough of the... My point is there's enough of grace of God for whatever. Just like Paul's thorn in the flesh, like Brother Goss was talking about this morning. Whatever it is, there's been all kind of speculation on it. Nobody knows what it is for sure because it don't tell us. We'll have to wait to talk to Paul about it unless he may come back and as an angel and tell somebody, or Jesus could tell us. But whatever it was, God said his grace was sufficient and that he wasn't going to take it away from him. And that was good enough for the apostle. He never asked. He asked three times for deliverance of it. But when God said, my grace, I'm leaving it there to keep you from getting exalted. I'm sure Paul probably prayed after, God, don't never take this away from me. Because you done showed me I'd get too exalted if you did. So I want you to keep it there until the perfect day comes. That's when it left him, I'm sure. Envyings, murderings is in here. Drunkenness. Y'all know what those are. Revelings. That's rioting. And such like. Of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He puts variants in there with murders. You know, it's not as great a work of the flesh, but it will keep you out of the kingdom of God if we don't overcome it. But let me tell you something. The God in heaven will help you, saints, overcome this flesh. This nature of the flesh, it works in us. You know what? When these things crop up, you know what they do for me? They just let me know I need more of God. I need more help. That's why I need to get to church. And when the Spirit of God's touching, I need to get up front and get me up my touch and get liberated from the old man again. Hallelujah. But, verse 22, everybody say, but. Yeah. It don't have to be these works of the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Oh God. I love this. I love this way. I love the Spirit of God and what it's done, how he's delivered me, lifted me up from what I used to be. You know, my wife and I, every once in a while, we'll lay in bed. I was going to tell you a minute ago, I have gotten in bed with her before, mad as a hornet. You know, laid there and thought, I'm going to lay here a while and see if she'll repent. Finally, I give up. But I've reached over and slid my hand over and found hers. Sometimes when I'd touch her, she'd pull it back. Ooh, I don't like that. You know, every one of y'all, how many of y'all ate cold backbone at night? I've had her roll over on me. Don't touch me. I'm talking about this sweet little angel I married. Well, I was a wonderful prince too, but I was a devil to her at different times, you know. I didn't think I was, but she sure did. You know, as Brother Clyde Patton, this sister, you know, she came up to Brother Clyde Patton and she told him, she said, my husband, he makes me so mad. She said, Brother Patton, I can't help it. She said, he just makes me so mad sometimes. He said, Sister, mad was already in there. He just helped you locate it. He just helped you bring it to surface. Of course, she didn't have much to say after that. But I have several times I told Sister Smith, and I said, honey, let's don't go to sleep this way. I said, let's don't let the sun go down and us go to bed like this. I said, we may not have time tonight. We're tired to talk this out, work it out. But I said, I don't want to go to bed mad at you, and I don't want you to go to bed mad at me. So I want to repent to you, tell you that I want to get this, I want us to get this worked out. Would you forgive me? So far, she's always forgave me. We don't go to sleep mad very much anymore. There's been a few times we've even had as bad as old folks. I hate to tell y'all that. But there's still a little bit of Adam in both of us. But we don't get near as riled up as we used to be. We used to be revelers, rioters. We rioted. I mean, might not have been nobody there to riot with me, but I was having a riot against her. She was me. Isn't it amazing what can come out your mouth when you get mad at somebody you love? And I've always wished I could. Sometimes I'd spit out something, I wished I could grab it and poke it back down my throat. But it's once it gets out, it's said, you can't get it back. And you know, sometimes that that sticks with people a long time. You can say things you really don't mean. That it's just hurtful. You can get skilled at being hurtful, sharp-tongued. And it takes people a long time to get over those kind of hurts. But let me tell you something. If you hold on to God, if you'll keep asking Him, God, get a hold of me. Keep my hand in your hand. Don't turn loose of me, God. Keep working in my life. Don't let me go, Lord. No matter what. No matter what you got to do. Help me to get humble enough to reach and touch you. And humble myself before you. You'll finally get to a place that you'll see that God's helping you conquer this old man. And you'll be more led of the Spirit. And God. And finally, there's going to be something working in your life besides these works we read of the flesh, and it's going to be love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness. I think everybody that's been serving God a long time can tell you. They can tell you, I've got more love than I used to have. I've got more joy than I used to have. When you go through enough trials and you hang on to God through them, you'll have joy. You'll have more joy than you have when before you win some victories. And in peace. And long-suffering working in your life. And gentleness and goodness. I've got more faith in God than I used to have. I do. I pray now sometimes. I pray and I feel like we're just that far away from a miracle. I feel like, you know, the power and glory of God is getting closer all the time. Because He's getting closer to us and we're getting closer to Him. He's abiding in us and we're abiding more in Him. Hallelujah. Well, I kind of delivered what was on my heart. I love Him tonight. We're serving a great God. He's changing our lives. Let me encourage you young people, keep serving Him. Brother Michael Smith was telling me last night coming home, he said, I believe the young people of today, like the young people in the Little Rock Church, God's going to use them in a greater way than He's used any other young group of young people since the falling away of the church. I said, yeah, God's working something. He's working in their hearts. He's doing something. He's touching their lives. But that don't leave us old folks out. We can get in on this too. God, look, God can use the saints. Let me tell you something. Don't wait on the restoration of the church to be effective for God. Did you know God's been doing miracles all through these last 6,000 years? He's been working, He's been healing. People's exercised faith in God under the law and got healings and miracles. And God's worked because of faith. Who knows? Mordecai told Esther, who knows whether or not God will deliver us through you? Let's try. Let's dare. Let's dare to try God for deliverance, for power. Let's believe Him for the unbelievable things. Hey, I don't need church to tell you things just going to keep on going on like they've been going on. But I want you to know something. There's a God in heaven that's willing. If you can touch Him, I believe that. I believe we can get like that little woman that just said, I don't care. The crowd ain't stopping me. If I have to get out and crawl, pull, pinch, poke, whatever I got to do, I'm getting to Him. I'm going to touch Him. I just believe if I touch Him, I'll have what I'm asking for. Hallelujah. I just believe, hey, that little woman didn't even have the Holy Ghost. I just believe. She just believed. I believe sometimes we have to believe against hope against hope. Believe against the unbelievable. Just say, I'm not giving up. Well, you say, well, I've tried that and it didn't work. That don't mean you ought not try it again. Just keep trying. Just keep working on it. What if God says yes this time? Who knows He won't say? Rather He won't. I'm telling you, God loves faith. He loves people to look to Him and depend on Him. God's looking for a people that will put Him before everything and include Him in everything. Hallelujah. Praise God. Whatever your need is, don't give up and believe in. Don't give doubt. Don't let doubt take hold. Believe. Have faith. Trust God. He'll deliver you out of all your troubles. Live a righteous life. Please Him. Tell Him, God, I'm doing my best. And I need your help in some things. I'm not part of the world and I'm not living like the world. And I don't expect results like the world's getting. Hallelujah. I'm believing you. I'm not asking for no free ride. I don't want no Lincoln Continental. I don't want you to give me a new home. I want you to save my child. I want you to touch my brother. I want you to help my wife and my life, our situation. I want you to help me with my job situation. I want you to free me up where I do my work in a church for you. I want you to help me get focused more on you, your work, your kingdom. I guarantee you start talking to God like that, He'll start getting on your side. He's interested in His kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Oh God. God, your will work in my life. I'm not just asking for things in my life. I see things that need to be done in your kingdom. My brothers and my sisters. That's what I'm more interested in, them. You get to a place where you start asking for others more than you do yourself, God's going to start doing more for you than you ever thought He would. Yeah, that's how God is. Yeah, He sees you. He sees meekness. He sees when people care more about Him. They're willing to take the least spot, the least place. God loves that. That's the kind of people God wants to promote. Oh, glory. Let's work for Him, saints. Let's live for Him. Let's let Him work in our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Praise His name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I believe that Jesus is real. I believe my infirmities He feels. As I press in and touch the hem of His garment, my spirit, soul and body, He can heal. Oh, I believe that Jesus is real. I believe my infirmities He feels. Oh, as I press in a touch the hem of His garment, my spirit, soul, and body, He can heal. Oh, I believe that Jesus is real. I believe my infirmities He feels. Oh, as I press in and touch the hem of His garment, my spirit, soul, and body can heal. Oh, I believe that Jesus is real, and I believe my infirmity. As I press in and touch the hem of His garment, my spirit, soul, and body, He can heal. Oh, I believe that Jesus is real, and I believe, oh, my infirmity. As I press in and touch the hem of His garment, my spirit, soul, and body, He can heal. Oh, I believe that Jesus is real, and I believe, oh, my infirmity. He can heal. Oh, I believe.
Praise God. All right. Wednesday night, 7:30. Shake hands and be friendly. Oh, we've got birthdays. Brother Nathan Smith. Who is it? Oh, Andrew and Brittany's. Yeah.